Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, Nats Town. Welcome to Nats Nightly, sponsored by FederalBaseball.com. Dave, want to talk for a minute while I tweet stuff? The Nationals drop an extra inning game to Chicago Cubs. It was a marathon, 19-12 on the year. They get swept in Chicago. I guess we should start with Dave. 5-5 road trip in the end here, but it has to be a little disappointing when you start 5-1, get swept by the Cubbies. It seems a powerhouse, but you hope that you could steal one of those games and go home with a 6-4 trip at least, but they end up 5-5 on the road after a strong start in St. Louis and Kansas City.
Yeah, after losing the last three games of the homestand to the Phillies, hitting the road on the 10-game trip, I think the best that anybody could have hoped for was 5-5. So when they got off to the 5-1 start, which really should have been a 6-0 start, you had to head into this Cubs series, and like you said, you'd like to steal one of those games. But the Cubs are playing exceptionally well. The Nats not only had a 10-game road trip, but, had the unlucky draw facing the Cubs the last four games of that trip. 10-game road trip is tough regardless of the opponent, let alone when your last opponent is the best team in the league. So, 5-5, the Nats have to take that. Obviously disappointed about the way today win, really the entire series with the Cubs, but it just boils down to, teams not letting Bryce Harper beat them. And as we saw today, in a very exaggerated example of such, teams are not going to be willing to pitch to Bryce Harper, even with runners on base at this point now, because the way the lineup is constructed, he's just not going to get any protection as long as Ryan Zimmerman continues to slump the way he has.
So what do you do in that situation, though? Do you bring Daniel Murphy there? They both hit left-handers well, so it's a little bit less of a problem, but you're kind of giving other teams an opportunity to bring in a lefty to go against both of them. Ryan Zimmerman obviously struggling, 14 left on base today, which is just staggering amount of people. But Harper, no plate appearances, 6 walks in the game, which is a record, I believe it has to be at this point, a run scored, 13 walks total in the 4-game set in Chicago. They just had no interest in giving him an opportunity to do anything and took advantage of the fact that Ryan Zimmerman's hurting there. So do you move Murphy there? What do you do if you're Dusty Baker to try to counteract the fact that no one's going to pitch to Harper if they're not hitting behind him?
Well, it's really kind of ridiculous. Yeah, Harper ties the all-time record for most walks in a game. Ryan Zimmerman sets the record for most left on base in a game. And that those aren't coincidences. Those are corollary, and it's getting to be a problem. I think that you could move Daniel Murphy up into the cleanup spot. I mean, he's certainly not your prototypical power hitter, but he is exceptional at making contact and one of the top batters in the National League right now. If you want to keep a right-hander there, you could bring Wilson Ramos up there. He's hitting .358, and his OPS is .916. I mean, those are both very credible. He's off to a very good start. So, like I said, if you want to keep a right-handed bat in that slot, you could do that. You could move Bryce Harper up and put Daniel Murphy in the 3 slot with Harper in the 2. You got to change something up. You got to do something at this point because Joe Maddon just set the recipe for how you beat the Washington Nationals, and that's just don't give Bryce Harper anything to hit, period.
Even more disappointing, I think, because they actually performed very well against a pitcher who's been dominant the last year plus, Jake Arrieta on the mound before today. The Cubs had 19 straight starts by him that they won. Only 5 other players have gone a longer start in baseball history than at 20 up to 20 games after today that he started that they've won. The longest streak since 1913, 6-0 on the year, 0.84 ERA coming in, 2.80 FIP, 7.74 Ks per 9, 2.51 walks per 9, 142, 209, 213 line against, and 43 innings pitched. He's outscored their opponents 47-4 before today in his 6 starts. So the Nationals actually put up some numbers on him, 6 hits, 3 runs, 2 earned, 4 walks, 7 Ks, knocked him out after 5 innings. He had already thrown it's just total 100 pitches even, so they got him out of there early. They had a lead and still couldn't hold on to it, but at least they put up a decent game against Arrieta, who had been virtually unhittable, or at least unscorable. I don't know if that's a word. score.
Yeah, you know, yeah, the best pitcher in the league, they get 6 hits and 4 walks off of him. It's a shame that it didn't end up in a win, because if you can get 3 runs off of Jake Arrieta, you ought to be able to win the ball game. And the Nats weren't able to do that. The Cubs got a couple runs against the bullpen in the 7th after just a tremendous outing by Tanner Roark. And, the Cubs are good. You know, there's no arguing around it. I don't want to try to make that sound like it's excuse making for the Nats, but right now the Cubs are a better team, and they showed it over the 4-game series. The Nats had opportunities in all 4 games to win each of the 4 games and weren't able to. We saw little mistakes, base running mistakes, guys get picked off. We saw a defensive miscue or two here and there. And the little things add up against really good teams, and that's what the Cubs are right now, are a really good team. The Nationals are a pretty good team, but right now there are holes and are going to continue to be until the Zimmerman, Worth, Rendon start to hit a little bit more, because these are guys that the Nats are depending on, and right now none of the 3 of them are performing up to what they should be.
Just to put some statistical support to your very good team, Cubs, obviously, but 5-plus runs in 6 straight games before today. They ended up with 4, get the win today. 6.2 runs per game so far this year, MLB's highest run per game, plus 101 run differential thus far, outscoring opponents 180-79 before today. That's the second-best run differential through 29 games since the 1902 Pirates. They also are getting great pitching from Arrieta and the rest of the staff, as we saw this weekend. Nationals couldn't do much of anything all weekend. They were just stifled, and when they did do something, the Cubs offense just pretty much immediately answered back the whole weekend. So any overall thoughts on the Cubs and what you saw this weekend and what the Nationals are going to, they're probably happy to get out of there. And they lost all 4, obviously, but just a frustrating weekend all around.
Yeah, and I said it in our season preview show that I thought the Cubs were going to be the best team in the league this year. And they have shown me nothing to this point that would make me change my mind about it. They're 24-6. They've got the best record. They've got the best pitcher in the game right now in Jake Arrieta. Their lineup top to bottom is as solid as you can ask for. And they've even got a couple of guys struggling. Hayward's only hitting .212. Solaire 181, but still from top to bottom, you would look at their team and you look at the Nats, and you would think, position switch for position switch, how many of the Nats would you take over the Cubs position by position? It would probably, the list would be very short at this point.
Tanner Roark was on the mound for the Nationals today, the Wilmington, Illinois-born right-hander back in his home state. 2-2 in 6 starts this year, 2.35 ERA, 2.89 FIP, 7.98 Ks per 9, 3.52 walks per 9, 2.13, 2.97, 2.52 line against. 6 innings today, 4 hits, 1 run, unearned run, 2 walks, 7 Ks, got up to 110 pitches, 65 strikes, 8 ground ball outs by Tanner Roark. It seems like a long time ago that he pitched, but he put together a good start against the Cubs and kept the Nationals in there as long as they could.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this is one of those games where the old-time radio announcers would say he didn't get the result that he deserved, because just pitched tremendously well. The error led to the unearned run against him. 4 hits and 2 walks in 6 innings. Just a tremendous performance by Roark. The performance they needed out of their starting pitcher today. And it wasn't good enough in the end, because they picked up a couple of runs against the bullpen there, and then the just exhaustive extra innings that ended up in 4 straight sliders, the last of which hung, allowing Baez to hit the game-winning homer.
1-for-19 with runners in scoring position on the day. That's just brutal. If we're going to look for positives, Wilson Ramos made a play at the plate. Defensive substitution in the bottom of the 11th inning. Michael Taylor takes over playing center. Ben Revere switched over to left at that point, but Chris Bryant hits a double at the center. Michael Taylor can't make the catch, but doesn't dive for it, which I think is really key there. Stays with it, gets the ball into Danny Espinoza, who fires a strike to home. Wilson Ramos is waiting there to tag out Jason Hayward, who singled in the previous at-bat. It kept him alive there, but nice execution there by the Nationals. Didn't end up helping them in the end when they lost, but a really nice play there by Michael Taylor, Espinoza, and Ramos on the receiving end at home.
Yeah, you know, you wonder if Revere would have made the catch to begin with, but that's beside the point at this point. I think, you know, Taylor made the nice pickup and spinning throw, just a tremendous throw by Espinosa. I mean, we know that he's got a great arm, but we saw it exhibited again. And then, like you said, you made the mention with Ramos making the play and hanging on. You know, Hayward made the nice fadeaway slide, but Ramos was able to get the tag on him. Obviously, the throw beat him by plenty. So just a really nice defensive play all the way around.
Jason Worth, 2 today, 0 for 6. Ryan Zimmerman, 1 for 7 on the day. The 14 list on base just stick out horribly on the box score when I'm looking at it. But how do you think the Nationals regroup going into a 3-game set with a Detroit Tigers team that's bound to be some trouble, too? We're going to see a nice Jordan Zimmerman versus Max Scherzer matchup coming up in this next 3-game set.
Yeah, you know, that'll be fun. The Tigers are a good team. You know, the Nats hopefully can get home tonight, get some home cooking, and you know, rest up quickly because they'll go back at it again tomorrow. But, you know, like we mentioned from the very top of the show, you know, it seems like it's time now to switch the batting order up a little bit, if for nothing else, to kind of shake things up and just maybe, you know, let Ryan Zimmerman get it out of his head, to, you know, because this is a day that obviously, you know, he tried to slide there on his last at bat, tried to slide into first base, and he's called out, and he just kind of laid there. Obviously, it's working on him, on his psyche a little bit. The 14 left on base, that's just a ugly, ugly number in the box score. So, you know, you got to think that Baker switches things up a little bit. Excuse me. I wouldn't be surprised to see a transaction to bring up a fresh arm for the bullpen. The way things shook out today, trying and having to pitch when they obviously didn't want to go to him today. So. That wouldn't surprise me if there was a little shakeup there. But really, the Nats, you know, like I said, the Nats are a pretty good team. They're going to get home. They're going to get a chance to have a homestand here. And, you know, hopefully they can get back on track. But honestly, 5-5 on a 10-game road trip, regardless of where it is, is getting the job done. It's disappointing the way that it ended. But overall, it's getting the job done for them.
One other question on the lineup. I'm just looking at it now. If you want Zimmerman at it, where do you move Zimmerman, I guess, is my question. Do you drop him down in the order? Do you move him up to the top? Get him in the, I don't know if you want him in the top in front of Harper and Murphy or whoever you're going to move there, but do you drop him down to 6 or 7, which is very un-Zimmerman-like. I can't remember the last time he was out of the middle of the order, but like you said, 236 average after today's game is going to be slightly exaggerated with that 1 for 7, but if you're Dusty Baker, where do you put him to try to let him get right for a little while?
Well, if I'm building the lineup, and granted I'm not, but I would go Revere, Harper, Murphy, Worth. I mean, Worth, Revere, Harper, Murphy, Ramos, Zimmerman, Worth. That's how I would do it at this point, just to give teams different things to think about, give the guys on the Nats a little bit of different perspective. But I really think they got to move Ramos up at this point, move Zimmerman, you know, at least out from behind Harper to give teams a different look, something else to think about.
We'll see what Dusty Baker does tomorrow. They start a 3-game set with the Detroit Tigers in Washington, D.C. Annabelle Sanchez, 3-3, 5.87 ERA on the mound against Steven Strasburg, 5-0, 2.36 ERA. That's a 7.05 start. We'll have some 7 o'clock games for the next couple days after some weird afternoon games for 3 days straight in Chicago. Nats Nightly, sponsored by FederalBaseball.com. Nats head home 19-12 after dropping 4 straight in Wrigley Field. Javier Baez at the walk-off today to send the Nationals fans back to D.C. disappointed. We'll talk to you after tomorrow's game. Doghouse will be back in town, too. I think I'm driving down to D.C., so see you guys at the park.
Sounds good.
Doghouse, let's go Nats.